Because I have a lot of songs out now. I'm very proud of those songs. I feel like it's something I wanted to do for a long time. Like I said, I did theater in school, and that was always easy for me because I was playing a character and I could be crazy and wacky and I had a wig on and I was running around the stage. It's totally different when you have to be yourself and stand up there on stage as yourself, no hiding behind anything.
Sapphics and allies, you're listening to Queer Women Rising. That's women with an X because we are inclusive here. When we hear the stories of queer women who have gone before us, we see evidence that there's nothing we can't do. And yes, we can too. It's time for you to level up in life, in love, and step into your most authentic, abundant reality. You won't be the same after this episode. It's your turn to let go of good for greatness.
Your best life is now loading.
Let's rise.
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 Let's rise. To be a queer power couple. To be a queer power and purpose couple. To create a business out of doing what we love, working with your partner, making money from your art, making money from your music. That's the dream for all of us, ain't it? Now, I love looking at women who are living the dream. And for me, it's not just about business. It's not just about love. It's got to be like this blend of both, like being successful and feeling purpose every day because you're doing what you're meant to be doing. And the way that we know it's possible for all of us until it happens is by looking at the women who have gone before us and saying, oh my gosh, if it's possible for her, it's possible for me. So today I'm excited to share my guest, Emory Parker. She is a New York City based queer pop artist. I hope that this episode becomes a thing when she's like the next Chapel Roan, except she doesn't need to be anyone else, but like the Emory Parker. And like, I'm like, yeah, I interviewed her before she blew up. Duh. We're still good friends now. Because she's a New York City based queer pop artist, business owner, and storyteller. And that's a key thing. Like being a storyteller is a part of everything we do and everything I teach when it comes to social media and building your brand. Telling stories is how you really relate to people. So I love that she describes herself that way. She runs Blue Slate, a video production company with her partner, Natalia. They create content for major brands and networks like A&E, Lifetime, CDC, focusing on LGBTQ plus health. Ooh, I love it. 2 years ago, Emory pursued her passion for music to create art from her queer perspective. We need more of it. Her music aims to unite LGBTQ people, especially queer women, instilling pride and confidence. Oh my gosh, I need to add her to all of my playlists. I'm like, okay. EP, not the one, and singles showcase her talent in visual storytelling. Visual storytelling, I love that. Bringing vivid imagery and visceral emotion. I think like a lesbian's relationships are visceral emotion to the max. We need it in your music. I love it. Emory hopes that her work makes queer people feel inspired, seen, and celebrated. Oh, and I know it does. Welcome to Queer Women Rising. Emory, let me see where your request is to come inside. Go ahead and drop your request as soon as you can, Miss Emory Parker. Not seeing you just popping in yet. If anyone is watching now and you're new to Queer Women Rising Live, I go live every Wednesday, 12 p.m. Central Standard Time with my guests from around the world, powerful queer women. I'm so excited for this week, Emory, to come on. And in the meantime, before she pops in, if you have any questions or during our live, if you have questions, I see your requests. So excited. I love talking to other queer artists. Y'all might not know, but I have music too. It's not my career like it is for Emory, but I geek out. Ah, oh, hi.
Hey.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm so excited to be here.
I'm so excited you're here. Can I just say your eyebrows are amazing?
Oh, thank you. They're natural. I don't do anything to them.
Wow. I love it. I love it. Okay. I'm so excited that you're telling queer stories. It's so important. And that you're power coupling. Real quick, before I refer to your partner,
yes.
What are your pronouns?
So my pronouns are she, her, and her pronouns are also she, her.
Okay, awesome. Just want to make sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So how did you guys meet and decide you were going to start working together? Because that's a huge step for anyone, especially a couple.
Yes. So we actually met at film school at NYU. We were both studying in the same program. And during the welcome week, the orientation week, I hadn't really made any friends yet. I connected with one guy on Facebook. You know, Facebook was big at the time. And I saw him in real life. And I was like, hey, where are you guys going? What are you doing? I was going in for the night because I didn't have any friends yet. And, you know, he was with a big group of people. And Natalia, my partner, was in that big group. And I just kind of joined them. I went out. And we became friends ever since then and started working together on our school projects, on our films there. And eventually, after several years, got together.
Wow.
Back like when I realized, you know, later on that I was queer. But it at first, I was straight going into NYU, but things changed pretty quickly.
Okay, so she always presented queer?
Well, I don't know. To me, she did. It wasn't something that, like, we talked about necessarily at first, but a lot of people at NYU, you know, were very open with their sexuality and their experiences. And for me, it's something that was not, you know, I wasn't really quite ready for that, but I'm very glad that I was in an environment that was very safe and open.
Wow. So different than the environments where I'm from in the South, right? Like,
yeah.
So different. Are you originally from New York City?
So I'm from outside of New York City, about half an hour outside of New York City. And it's actually a pretty small town, a pretty conservative town as well. So, you know, at that time, I wasn't really aware of my queerness at all in high school. It really took, you know, the NYU experience to bring it out of me, I guess.
I love it. So y'all have been friends for how long?
So we've known each other for over 10 years and we've been together over 7 years.
That is beautiful. That is beautiful. And then I have to ask, because I'm like such a traditional lesbian. I'm like, are you going to get married? Or are you guys like, we never need to get married. We just love each other.
Well, you know, I mean, we have our own special partnership. And we're just, you know, I think the world is very different today. So for us, we, you know, have that bond and it's for ourselves. And I think for the rest of the world, as far as a wedding goes, that's something that will come a little bit later. And also, we're super practical. So, you know, on our list is like first the business, then buy a house, which is what we did recently. And, you know, the big party will come later on, I think.
I love it. I love it. Oh, yeah. For me, like when I marry a woman, because I already was married to a man, been there, done that, will not be about having this expensive day for anyone else. I mean, if she wants that, she can have whatever she wants. But for me, it's like me, my partner, and God, and like we could be on a mountaintop. I don't care.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's such a special thing to find a person who you just really, you know, every day is beautiful. Every day feels like you're committing to that person over and over again. So for me, that's, you know, that's every day. And I would love to do a big party. She's from Greece, so we want to do a big wedding in Greece at some point. Yes. We'll get there, though.
I love it. I love it. Okay. Just complete goosebumps. And hopefully the women listening can hear what healthy sounds like.
Yeah.
To be in a relationship that's beautiful every day doesn't feel like this crazy conflict all the time. And like, I think the world romanticizes conflict. And like, I thought that's how it was supposed to be. And it was okay to be in that. Mm-hmm. And out of being out of a toxic relationship now, it's like my nervous system's in this very peaceful state. And it sounds like that's what you have in this long-term partnership.
Yeah, definitely.
Congratulations on the house and the ability to focus on business together. Okay, so how have your personal experiences shaped the art that you create as a queer artist?
Yeah, so like I said, it took me a while to figure out that I was queer. I think that I hadn't really, you know, been so open with my sexuality or even, you know, desires, romance, like any of that stuff. I also had a religious upbringing. So I grew up Catholic.
Okay.
And to me, you know, I felt like there was always a sense of shame and guilt around any kind of sexuality. So now the way that I look at it is with my music, I want people to feel that it's something to be celebrated, not only your sexuality, but being sexual, you know, having desire, finding love. Like, that's all just something that humans should be experiencing, and there's no shame around that. So that's one aspect of my personal life that I bring into the music. And then also, you know, just telling stories. For me, hearing a song with she, her pronouns in it, in a, you know, in a lesbian romantic way, was such a game changer for me. And I was like, I can do that. I have the power to do that. And the more that I do it, I feel like it's been helping other people too. And I have a song about my partner, and I've just gotten some amazing messages from people saying, you know, I haven't heard any kind of love story like this, you know, that really feels, makes me feel seen and represented. So I think even just like little things like that can change the perception of some people, and also, you know, make you feel more comfortable in your own sexuality and life that you're living. Mm.
I love like talking artist to artist, and I don't want to put you on the spot, so you don't have to do this, yeah. But I'm curious if there are lyrics that are, for me, it's hard to remember lyrics, so I might have to like look up my own lyrics, mm-hmm. or whatever. Or maybe you just want to tell a specific story, but maybe of your favorite song that you've written about this experience, about this love, and like, do you want to share lyrics and where that comes from for you and your soul, like the actual story behind it? If you're comfortable, if not, then just tell the story if you can't remember the exact lyrics.
Yeah, I mean, I think so in that song specifically, it's kind of about our own romance and how we, it took some time for us to get together. Specifically in that song, I have a lyric, it's call it what you call it, I don't care, let's U-Haul it, because we did kind of U-Haul after we got together. We've known each other for a long time, so it didn't feel like, you know, really U-Hauling it, because I had already known her so many years. But pretty much after, you know, I decided that I was ready, because it took me a long time to be ready to start this relationship, considering our friendship and our working relationship. I had a lot of things that I was considering, and she was very patient with me and kind. And eventually when I said, okay, I'm ready, it was like, all right, we're together. We're moving in together. We're doing this. We're doing that. And we just were like on board. We started the company right after that too. So it just like, once it felt right, I knew that it was time to just like do the whole thing all at once.
I'm gonna cry. It's so sweet. And she's calling you out here in the comments. She said most of her breakup songs in the comments.
Okay. Well, that's a different thing. Yeah, so there's like one nice song that's about her, and the rest are not, so not about her. But yeah, she'll love to call me out on that. Well, you know, you gotta keep it interesting, right? Like, if I said in a song, oh, today we're going to Costco and we're like buying some vegetables, you know, I don't know how many people would care about that.
Actually, but I think that's the first line of a great hit lesbian song for lesbians who just want some fucking peace in their life.
You know what? I think we should reach out to Costco. We can do the collab.
Yes. Would you like put me in the car and tell me about all the different hummuses you like and why?
Yeah, no, exactly.
Hummuses and pickle variations for me.
I love pickles. Yeah. Don't even get me started.
It's like, I don't like pee-pee-shaped foods, but like, we can cut it.
Yeah.
We can cut pickle.
I like any kind of pickle.
I love it.
Yeah.
Sweeten, what are they? I'm blanking. Sweet. But I love like a hardcore. Yeah. Sweet and sour are like a sweet and spicy at the same time.
Yes. I love anything spicy.
Anything spicy. I love it. Okay, so spiciest song that you have, because you say you are writing about like sexual experiences, right? So what is that?
Oh, like? I don't know who's watching, but yeah, I mean, I think the most shocking song probably is a song called Drinking Alone, where it's personal in a way where it's not autobiographical, but I think it touches on something that's whatever, a little taboo, I guess.
Okay.
And that's one of my favorite songs. Just, I like the energy in it. It's kind of pop punk, and that's something that I've always been really excited about. But I think, like, you know, some of the songs are more sexy. So then I have a song called Best Behavior, and that's the one about that, like, touches on the like church elements. I don't know. If you look at the cover art for it, it's me in a confessional booth that my partner literally built for me in our basement and took the photos. So it's, you know, that to me is like, you know, something kind of taboo as well, but it's very much just saying like, you are a badass. You can, you know, no one can mess with me. I don't care what you think. And that's something like that I've had to kind of tell myself as I do all this, because obviously it's really hard to not care.
Yeah.
And I've seen with your content too, that this is, you know, you are so vulnerable and raw out there and really sharing these parts of your life that would be really difficult for most people to share. So yeah. I'd love to hear about like your personal story and how you've been vulnerable on the internet and how, you know, maybe it has been difficult at times, but how it has led to other opportunities and experiences that you didn't think you were going to have.
Absolutely. I'd love to tell you. And Tisha Diva is saying your songs are all bops.
Thank you, big fans
of your content. I'm so excited. Okay, so to answer your question, I just started being vulnerable. I realized it was harder to not be vulnerable. So if you have to get up every day and social media is your job and you've got to get on camera or you've got to create music or you've got to create podcasts and you don't get to be yourself, you're really going to stunt your ability to enjoy your work, the efficiency at which you can create content. And time is money, and your ability to truly connect with people because this is a screen, but people read energy. So it's in your best interest to build a personal brand rather than just this persona only. Yeah. And my friends will always say, like, you're exactly the same. My personality might be like, if I'm like 100 on camera, I am like maybe 60% when we go out. I'm just more to myself, and I'm very like, I have so many acquaintances, right, around the world, but like I keep my circle small. So I guess that's the one thing different. But other than that, I mean, it's the same. It's the same. It's sharing your life. I think it's taught me to be a little healed before you share certain things, like because that gets messy and muddy. And it's also taught me to have really great agreements, verbal agreements with your partners, but written agreements, because I share so much about my relationships. So when someone's dating me, I have like very explicit text messages, whether we're going on one date or we're going on 20 dates, that I have permission for them to be in my content. And always covering myself. I've never actually whipped out a contract. I've joked about it with somebody, but that's something that I think about a lot, just like protecting yourself when it comes to your stories being your work, which it sounds like your stories are your work too.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I think it's important because when you do put so much of your life out there, there's a risk, you know, you don't want people to come back at you, but it's, you also are entitled to share your truth. And so I think what you're doing is really brave. And I think it inspires other people who are going through such a major change, you know, whether it's coming out like, you know, unexpectedly and leaving a marriage or it's just any big life change. It's really hard to share that with people on the internet because, you know, I think the worst part is not even the hate comments, because you'll get that happens. But it's like the people who silently judge you that, you know, are watching and are like, you know, they're thinking, oh, that's so cringe, or that's something I would never put out there. But, you know, like someone has to do it, and they're not doing anything. You know, they're not putting themselves out there. They're not helping anybody else. So I look at it as that it's an opportunity to connect with people and to make a difference in some way.
Yes. And anytime you think, and this is what I tell people as a personal brand coach, if there's someone in your life that you can think of that's going to say, oh, that's cringe when they see it, you need to block them, because you will not be able to create at your full capacity. You need to be able to create without any worry about what someone's going to say. And things are only cringe until you're successful. So if you keep going, then, I mean, think of what Chapel Roan has done, right?
Yeah.
Like the crazy stuff she did, the video she'd film in her bedroom with like her handmade costumes and Like, I'm sure people looked at her and said, that's cringe. Oh, her hair is like not even styled. And okay, oh, she's trying too hard now. Mm-hmm. Okay, but can they say that now? And it's because she kept going.
Yeah.
I know that there were times where people thought I was ridiculous. I can't believe you share that online. Okay, now I have over 400,000 followers across platforms, a podcast, a lesbian dating platform. Like, and you've got all these businesses. So like, let them laugh and you go laugh at the bank. And not even just the bank, the fulfillment in your soul that you're getting to do something every day that you love. And they're just miserable on the inside. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And how would you, you know, go and coach someone in that way? Because I know that's what you're doing.
Yeah.
And so how would you work through that with somebody? It's almost like you have to be a little bit of a therapist to kind of like gear somebody up to take on such a, you know, such a big thing.
It's like life coaching whenever you're helping someone build their brand. But I'm sure you can relate to this as a songwriter, right? So if you want someone to be able to feel safe enough to share online, they have to decide they really want it. And they have to be okay with like the discomfort. I mean, I'm sure there was a time in your career where you had to just decide like, it'll be weird. There'll be backlash. And if they can decide that why is bigger than the why that would hold them back, then great. And then distance themselves from anyone that's going to make that challenging for them, especially in their mindset. And when you start telling stories, start relating to people. So always share the pain before pleasure. Like if I were to like get on and tell someone my story for the first time, I wouldn't start with, oh yeah, now I make $15,000 to $50,000 a month and I'm this huge. Like, no, I would just be like, I literally couldn't pay my rent 3 years ago when I left my ex-boyfriend and came out of the closet. I would start with that pain before pleasure connection. And if you're even starting with back 3 years ago, you're setting people back in time, and you could do this in songwriting too, where they're immediately tucked into bed for a story. They're buckled up, they're ready to go, they want to hear the story. When you start with, well, 3 years ago, well, 10 years ago, right? So it lets people subconsciously get tucked in and then say things that other people aren't brave enough to say out loud, and then self-promote like you're important because you are. You're as big as you say you are on the internet. You're as important as you say you are. Your music is as good as you show up for it to be. And you got to be your biggest fan before anyone else.
Yeah.
That's what I would think. I'm so curious, Emery, what was the biggest hurdle for you in your career? Like, has there ever been a time where like you're on your knees, like, I don't know if I can do this, or what was the hardest time?
Yeah. So I think for me, it was very difficult when I was first coming out. It was kind of a surprise to a lot of people, to myself especially, because it was unexpected. I'd always dated men, and I mean, they're mostly like boys. Like, I really wouldn't call them men anyway. But it was just like, it was not anything that I felt like connected to and, you know, moved by or excited by when I was dating these guys. And I started to just kind of like figure out in college, as I was around all these queer people, that, you know, maybe it's okay. It's okay to try some of these experiences to really decide who I am and not this version who I thought I was supposed to be. Yeah. And so I feel like that was kind of a big moment for me, trying to figure out who I was. And at the time, I wasn't really doing music full time. I was doing my filmmaking in school, and I had put out some songs. And, you know, that was like a challenge for me, figuring that out. And, you know, not everything was perceived very well by a lot of people. And it took time for people to get comfortable with that, and for me to be comfortable with my own identity online. And, you know, so I took kind of a little bit of time from the music to focus on the filmmaking. And then just more recently revisited the music. I feel like now, after really coming into my own and figuring out who I was, you know, so I kind of was like doing a bunch of different things and never really understanding who I was. And now I feel like I'm at the point when I can articulate that and then share that with other people and maybe help them figure out who they want to be. You know, it's, I think life, it's figuring out who you want to be. You know, there's like who people tell you to be or how they perceive you. But I think when you're like a queer person also, you kind of have to go through multiple stages to figure out who you actually are.
Yeah, I love it. It makes so much sense. Like you want to figure out who do you want to be? And also, do you feel like there's this pool beyond like who do you want to be, but like who you would ultimately become if you weren't looking at all these outside forces like compulsive heteronormativity and like for you, was it hard to tell your family that you were queer coming from that background?
Yeah, it was difficult, and it was something, like I said, it took time. And I think, like I said, because it was such a shock, it was something that needed time and needed conversations and discussions. And I'm very grateful for where I am right now with my family, with my friends, with my community. I think something that is very special is, you know, overcoming things that, are, you know, having those hard conversations and finding that people will love you for you no matter what.
Yeah.
And, you know, those are the people who you keep in your life. If people don't love you for who you are, yeah. I mean, I think that's what you want. It's like people who are going to be there and support you, and also help them realize that like being queer is not any different than wearing a blue t-shirt or, you know, like going out and hanging out with a friend. It's just like everyday life.
Yeah, it's and totally normal.
Yeah, I think like that's what we're both trying to do. Yeah. Is, you know, be proud of who we are. Of course, I say it every single day, every post that I'm making, but it's to make other people okay with it, or, you know, open up their mind if they haven't seen any queer person.
Okay, real quick, I need to tell you about WISP, an online healthcare service that is for the girls, gays, theys, and me. In fact, for 3 years, they have been a part of my daily regimen. I know many of you listening long to create beautiful women-loving women relationships. And that, my dears, begins with excellent kitty care. Like, no offense, I don't know about you, but I personally don't want to be at a kitty cat cafe, if you know what I mean, that doesn't provide the freshest dessert for me to lick. So do unto others as you'd have them do unto you, and keep your kitty cat cafe fresh. With WISP, everything from the consult to receiving meds is done from the comfort of your phone, and the company is proud of being inclusive, cost-effective, and accessible for everyone. WISP believes that you know your body better than anyone else, which means no more urgent care visits for issues such as UTIs, yeast infections, or STI treatment. You can save so much time not going to in-person appointments or waiting in line at pharmacies. The free shipping will save you so much time. Or same-day pharmacy pickup can have you feeling better faster. Before WISP, I was prone to getting BV, but my kitty pH balance stays perfect. Chef's kiss now that I am on a consistent probiotic regimen. Ladies, this is so important. Personally, I subscribe monthly to WISP Probiotics, Sexy Time Lube, and OMG Cream. It's like female Viagra. I also get D-mannose and boric acid vaginal suppositories as needed, so I'm prepared if something starts to fill off down there. Also, if you're about to meet a new partner from my lesbian dating platform, you definitely want to be tested before sleeping with someone new. You can order discreet online testing from your bed before you jump into bed. Go to the link in the show notes to learn more, or go to hellowisp.com and use my code Sophia for 15% off. That's code Sophia, S-O-P-H-I-A, for 15% off all your kitty needs. You're welcome. Okay, back to the show.
No. A lot of people in the U.S. have just never talked to a queer person.
No.
So, you know, it's amazing that online we're able to do that and open up these doors for people who may not have even been aware of queer people.
Yeah, it's so important to see. I'm not sure about your personal style all the time, but right now you're wearing, for those of you listening on the podcast, I always upload the podcast episode in a month or two. But Emery looks so fabulous. She's got this amazing sweater and like pearls on.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I love seeing feminine lesbians, because I didn't get that representation right in a small town.
Yeah.
Like, I thought lesbians were all like, my dad had this lawyer that literally was amazing to him when he was really, really young. And that's the only woman I ever saw as a lesbian that like my family, now they're so supportive now, But at the time, it was the only queer person that I would see them respect. And mm-hmm. they were like, oh, Miss Sue would come around and she had a big old cigar and she looked like very manly.
Yeah.
And that was all I saw was Miss Sue with her cigar. And I truly thought she was a man until my parents explained she wasn't.
Yeah.
And she wasn't trans. She was just super much.
Yeah, just much.
But it was all I saw. And so then I saw lesbian like Ellen or Whoopi Goldberg. And I'd be like, I'm not that either. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not like that's like they're cool. But I always resonated like there's something about them that I like. Like, I like watching their shows.
Mm-hmm.
But I never identified with it because I was too scared to in the church. Did you have that experience, too, where you're like, oh, I like them. I'm not going to be mean to them, but it's not me. It's not me.
Yeah, I mean, I in my town, there were only a couple of gay people, and I couldn't name a gay woman really from my town that I could think of. I mean, I was in theater. There were tons of gay guys everywhere, but I feel like, you know, it's hard to see yourself in that way because it's different. So, and I was like very feminine presenting at the time. I had long hair, very girly, and now I'm kind of like something in between, and that's good for me. I like where I'm at right now in my style and in my presentation to the world of how I am. But yeah, I think it was like, it's hard to know because if you don't see yourself represented, you don't know where you fit in, what box you're checking, or like, you know, for me, I came out as bi also. So I wasn't really sure. I was like, okay, well, I know I like this, but maybe I still like men, or maybe if it's the right person, you know. And then for me, it was just like, it never really clicked. I still dated men after coming out and just felt that it wasn't right for me. So I think there's something that's great about, you know, seeing all different kinds of queer people, all different kinds of lesbians. I'm personally very attracted to masked lesbians. Like, I think there's, you know, there's such a beauty in people and how they are out in the world. And it's really like a confidence thing, because I'm very attracted to confident people who are, you know, taking life seriously. I'm sure you are too. I know you have a whole dating thing going on. I want to hear about your country club.
Oh yeah.
I don't want to say the name wrong.
Oh, you're good. Queer Country Club. It's
Tell me about
it. I'm so excited because last night, like, I'm still like on a high. We do a monthly meetup and it's on Zoom, and we feature women who get to come up and share about themselves, what they're looking for. And when I say we had the highest quality, I always say high value women. When I say high value women, that means someone who knows who she is. And her worth and what she wants and won't settle. It has nothing to do with like your monetary whatever. But anyway, these women were like traveling the world or had the coolest, most unique careers. Like, some of them Department of Defense, or like traveling the country in an RV, are literally spending time in Spain, then Germany, or I mean, it was crazy. Like, and everyone's like, well, if we vibe, just come join me on my journey. And I'm just like, oh my God, like, how the opportunities in the room with those women, it's crazy. And so many of them are business owners. Lesbians are badasses. Lesbians are badasses. So speaking of, your girlfriend is hyping you up. I just want to take a moment to read it because you're so chill, but like, you deserve the hype up. So Natalia says she doesn't give herself enough credit, literally runs a full video agency, also does music, house huge clients, videos screened at the White House, national PSAs, hyping her because she won't hype herself. Okay, I have to know, what's a national PSA?
So we have done several PSAs in partnership with A&E Networks, in partnership first with New York State. And this is actually sort of how our company kind of hit big around COVID during that time. You know, once things shut down, we were trying to figure out what to do. Like everybody else in the world, you know, obviously people weren't making videos or doing any productions at that time. And the former governor of New York made a contest of who can create the best video to encourage people to wear a mask during the pandemic. And I saw this on Instagram and I was like, I went over to her, you know, everyone's sitting in the house. I was like, we have to do this. We have to go shoot this whole PSA and I want to win this contest. And she's like, what? What are you talking about? And so we went, we drove around New York, which was completely empty, which, you know, was kind of fun and amazing to go around the streets and no one was there, and went around to all of our friends and filmed them and asked them why they're wearing masks. So a lot of it was like, I'm wearing a mask for my mother or my father who's a healthcare worker, and just these really honest, authentic responses, real responses from real people.
Wow.
And we cut it together, added, you know, beautiful music and just like the images of people looking up into the camera. And this, you know, was part of this contest, and the winners, the five winners of this contest, they were putting it all over TV, and we ended up being the two winning groups. And it was kind of, it was everywhere. And that actually led to working with A&E Networks. We did a vaccine PSA with them. Wow. We did a tribute video for Elton John that screened at the White House.
Oh,
so just huge opportunities came from that one thing that we decided to do and just kind of, you know, like run around and shoot something because things were pretty bleak and we wanted to like do something that mattered. And that was our way of finding, you know, some kind of meaning in the whole thing and trying to convey that to other people.
I have goosebumps. Like, you're living the dream creating with your partner. And like, there's this little girl inside of me that used to, like, I started on YouTube mm-hmm. when I was 14 and then, like, went to videography school at a community college yeah. when I was 16, but never followed through on it. Yeah. I did other things. But, like, the goosebumps that, like, you get to create films with your partner, you get to just decide, we're going to make a difference in the world right now and go film this. And then how successful it's been, just that blows my mind. And it's so amazing. I hope everyone listening, whenever they listen to this episode, they just see what's possible for them. And, you know, there wasn't opportunities. And this is something that I want people to hear. Like, when you go do something and you do mm-hmm. something that no one else is willing to do, or maybe people were too depressed to do it at the time, but you got up and you're like, I see a vision for this. I see yeah. a vision for this. And you held that and you went and you did something that no one else is willing to do. And look what it did for your business.
Yeah.
That's just incredible.
Yeah, and it really led to so many other things. And then we ended up doing a lot of projects with the CDC and wow. and doing projects like about and for queer people about, you know, HIV prevention and trans women who need more resources and education. Like, there's just so many other things that it led to. And it's really amazing when all those projects align with our own personal missions yeah. and interests yeah. as part of the LGBTQ community.
Yeah, like, you're literally the messenger getting all of the help and the shining light for people who need to see it out there. Thank you for the work you're doing in the world and just going after your dreams. It's crazy. It's not selfish to go after your dreams. I think sometimes, especially because we're good-hearted creators, mm-hmm. we'll be like, oh, like, I shouldn't want more. Like, I have enough.
Yeah.
But like, the more impact you make, mm-hmm. that's what's giving you the life you have, and you're creating that impact because you're living out your purpose. It's just incredible. What's the project you're, or maybe you can't talk about it, but something you're most looking forward to in your business or your music next, whatever one you want to share.
Yeah, I mean, I think the business, we're very lucky. We have a lot of cool things going on kind of at all times. We're working with big companies and doing things like, you know, from UGC videos to things that go to the White House. So it's kind of like an ongoing, fun, every day is different type thing. For the music, you know, I'm have another song coming out soon. So I'm very excited about that. And then just trying to, you know, build up the confidence to do a live show is something that I've been really passionate about, but a little bit scared in a way. So I think the more I speak it into existence, the more responsibility I'll have to actually yeah. do that. So I'm working on that.
Yeah, so you're having a live show is what yeah. you're saying.
Yeah, so I'm having a live show. No, I need to pick a date, and because I have a lot of songs out now, and I'm very proud of those songs, and I feel like it's something I wanted to do for a long time. Like I said, I did theater in school, and that was always easy for me because I was playing a character and I could be crazy and wacky and I had a wig on and I was running around the stage. It's totally different when you have to be yourself and stand up there on stage as yourself, no hiding behind anything. So that's what I'm working towards right now.
I love it. Well, do you want to know a secret?
Yes.
So I know in my heart, I can feel it like all over, goosebumps all over my body, that in a couple years, you'll never think of this episode again, but it'll be the thing that I get to share people that I got to interview Emory before she was famous.
Oh my God. Famous. Done.
I can't wait. I'm so excited. Like, I know it's gonna happen. Like, it's just, yeah, it's just a matter of the moment.
Yeah.
So keep taking steps towards it. Like, I know it's gonna happen. And okay, I'm just nosy. What's the vibe of the new song? You don't have to say the name or anything, but what's the vibe?
Yeah. So it's a little pop, it's pop rock, pop punk-ish. It's got guitars. It's like a little bit Avril Lavigne meets Jesse McCartney meets like old Justin Bieber. I don't know. Those are,
I love it.
That's my vibe.
But make it love.
It's funny. Yeah, no, it's always funny because like as a kid, I would always sing the boy parts of all the songs in, you know, in theater or whatever. And it's like, I think that's because I'm like just a lesbian who's just yearning and like moody and angsty. And my voice happens to sit in that range. So that's where it comes out.
I love it. I have a deep voice too, so I totally feel you. I would always try to sing Belle, but would end up singing Gaston's part so much.
Yes, well, that's more fun anyway.
Oh my gosh, he's horrible. He's like, it's horrible, man. I mean, literally look at Disney movies and look at like the male characters of like the Disney mm-hmm. movies of the 90s, and I'm just like, oh my God, no wonder why we accepted such bullshit.
Right? I know. And also, I see Natalia is saying something here too, which this is very true. So I have another song, which I don't know when it's coming out, but I know that you would definitely love it. It's about making money, you know, like doing the whole thing, making money, you know, being a badass bitch, walking down the street, owning your life. I think that one I'll have to send to you because I think you'll really like it. And I'll let you know.
A little harpy harp on that. You just hit me up.
Okay? Oh, yeah.
Just be like, I just need a little help on this track. I know nothing about audio recording, by the way, like zero. I record everything on like a shit mic and I have no recording studio, nothing like that. But you tell me what to do. If you're like, Sophia, go in your closet and just like play CG, 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 a glissando, I'll do it.
Oh my God. I feel like that was sly. We should do it.
Tell me when. I don't expect anything on it, just like knowing that I was on it.
Just vibes.
Oh my gosh. I love this. Someone says that Kip says I was the same way. I'd sing both parts. Makes sense as a spirit. I love that. I was always never singing the girl part.
I have another question for you, actually. So speaking about spirits, you are very spiritual. I'd love to know that journey, you know, because like as someone who came from the church and I'm not really involved at all, I'm not religious. I would say maybe a little bit spiritual in like a bigger way, but you know, I don't like going to church at this point. I don't feel comfortable going to church.
Yeah,
I'd love to know your journey of like how you found your own spirituality after coming out.
Yeah, I'd love to share. There's so many like facets to it. First of all, I don't feel comfortable going to like a traditional church either. Mm-hmm. I don't feel welcome, especially the evangelical, insidious, non-denominational churches that like pretend they're cool and modern and like nice to everyone. And then you actually go deeper or you try to volunteer. They'll take your money, but they won't like let you volunteer. They won't let you work with kids. They won't let you even volunteer at the soup kitchen. It's ridiculous.
Wow.
I there was one church in LA that still did that I'm aware of, but back where I'm from, no, not a thing. And there are Unity churches and Episcopal churches that are welcoming, and Unity churches and Episcopal churches, they're not just like talking the talk, they're walking the walk. I just feel like bored in Episcopal church, honestly, like straight up, I'm bored. And then in a Unity church, I love it. It's like gay people all holding hands. The pastor's a woman in a pantsuit and she's singing and it's amazing, but I don't have one in my hometown. So it's sad. In the meantime, I find God, I actually attend with Reverend Sydney Finn online. Mm-hmm. She's I don't even know if she would call herself spiritual. She pretty much just believes in God, like as a spirit, you call it whatever you want. And all you believe is that God is good. And it's this blend of like manifestation, and she pulls from spiritual texts like anywhere. She's into the Bible a little bit, but just a lot of, what's the word? Like not reading it literally all the time, figuratively, reading it as parables. Yeah, right? I am what traditional Christians hate. I am a cherry picker, okay? Like I love to pick things through all spiritual texts. And I appreciate the words of Jesus, and I appreciate the words of Buddha. I'm obsessed with Mary Magdalene. And I could go on and on about that. But anyway, it's just, it's not about God, finding God out there. It's finding God in here. Mm-hmm. And for me, that's like in my heart, putting on worship music, things that are like, I'm such a sinner, I'm a bad person. That could be like religious trauma triggering.
Yeah.
But certain worship music I love. And listening to just like new agey spiritual music and connecting with God with music and in yoga, like just being, focusing on how blessed I am and gratitude. It's not about one thing. I mean, I get so excited about it. And last night in our queer country club meetup for single lesbians looking to meet their wives, they were like talking so much about their reconstruction of faith now as a lesbian. And
yeah,
it was just so cool to see. There's so many. I'm not alone. Yeah. Yet. So if you are a queer woman looking for love, especially if you have faith, there's women out there, and just DM me the word dating on Instagram and I'll hook you up inside, because there's some powerful women in there.
Yeah.
So for you, do you, you've just kind of never went into church again, or do you pray? Yeah. What does that look like?
I mean, I've been to church a couple of times since then for, you know, maybe a holiday or something, or if, you know, if someone passes, and I'm able to move past my own trauma for whatever it is in the moment, you know.
Yeah.
Luckily, I feel like it wasn't the church's fault about everything. Like, I know I think it's fine for people to believe and to have their own spirituality, because it is kind of it's bleak to like believe in nothing. I do think that's, you know, it's a little sad, but for me, I feel like where I've really found my spirituality is going to concerts, like queer concerts. You know, specifically Brandi Carlile, when she plays The Joke at Madison Square Garden, that's a spiritual experience for me.
I'm writing that down. The Joke.
Chapel Roan, you know, we were lucky enough to see her at New Haven, basically the day before Good Luck Babe came out. So, I mean, she was still big at the time, but it was like, that was a spiritual experience, you know, hearing that song for the first time before anyone else, and just being in a room full of people who are unapologetically themselves, singing, dancing, and having no fear or shame or guilt for enjoying that moment, hearing Pink Pony Club. Like, that's just like any of those songs, but especially Pink Pony Club too.
Pink Pony Club is a spiritual.
It's a spiritual song. And it's like something that I think queer people could just really relate to, that you can find a place that you fit in and that you belong.
Do you know where
that's the spirituality?
Do you know where she wrote it about the Abbey in Los Angeles?
Yeah.
It's all my first experiences were the Abbey, and like, and I'm looking at Natalia, your partner, saying I was a Chapel fan for years. Me too, Natalia. I literally like think I'm better than everybody, because I've been listening to these songs for 2 years. I'm like, yeah, guys, y'all are just like
seriously. Well, it's her too. So like the first video I think that she showed me was the one where she was in her bedroom with the clothes, singing Casual.
Yeah.
And I will give Natalia credit. She's always like the first to discover things. Like she's the first to find the trend, and she's like, Emery, you got to do this trend. And I'm like, I'm not going to do the trend. And then, you know, the next day everything is a million views. So she was on that trend before anyone else, for the record. So like, it feels really cool to have known about her and to see that journey unfold. And I love hearing her talk about it, because, you know, people say overnight success, but it's something she's been building for over 10 years.
Yeah. One day it did crack, like it tipped over the edge, but like it was like climbing up this mountain. And gosh, I love whenever I meet someone who just gets it. Like, it's never going to be this overnight thing, but then it might be. It's going to look like that, but it's not. And I can't wait for it to happen to you. I really believe it will.
Thank you.
So go do those live shows. Okay. Yes. For everyone listening, and they're like, I want to listen to Emory's music. How do they search your name on Spotify? Exactly. Yes. How do you spell it? Give me all the
Yes. Things. So it's the same as my Instagram handle, which is just my first and last name, Emory Parker, E-M-O-R-Y, Parker. And, you know, I have a bunch of songs out right now. So the most recent song is called Forget Your Name. And the next one should be coming out in a couple of weeks. So everyone stay tuned for that. But until then, you have a bunch to listen to. There's a lot out there. And I'm posting content, you know, almost every day on here. Some covers, mostly original stuff, some funny stuff on the street. I like to keep it light, you know, like even if the songs are about bad breakups and things, you know, life is a balance of funny and sad. So that's kind of where I'm at.
I get it. So right now, as soon as we get off, I'm going to add Forget Her Name to my lesbian playlist that I send to people when they DM me the word playlist on Instagram. If there's like, what's the first song people should listen to you from you? Like listen to if they've never heard you before. Is it Forget Her Name or is it something else?
No, I'd say Fall Back Into You. So that's my most popular song right now. And it's one of the older ones that I've had. But that's like almost, it's like a 2015 good vibes, even if it's kind of about a breakup again. But like it's like a Taylor Swift 1989 vibe to it. Someone said it's like Zoe 101. So I don't know. I have like the nostalgic feel to some of the songs, but I feel like that one kind of sums it up.
Yeah.
That's more pop rock. And yeah, like the other stuff, it's kind of all around the spectrum of pop, but it's all fun and different enough. So I feel like you get something out of it, you know, whichever song you're listening to.
I love it. Someone's commenting, if you don't know me by now, Simply Red, is that some of your music?
No, it's not okay. My song, but I will check it out after this.
Okay. I was just wondering if that's one that someone's like, oh, you got to listen to it. Okay. So guys, if you want to listen to Emory's music, you can go follow her on Spotify and I will be adding it to my like ultimate lesbian playlist that I share with everyone. Awesome. DM me the word playlist, Forget Her Name, Fall Back Into You. I'm going to bump them to the top. I'm so glad we had this conversation, Emory. I'm telling you, I'm going to look back at this and I'll send it to you. You'll probably be way too busy on tour to respond. But I'll be like, I can't believe I told you. I told you you'd be famous.
You're going to say, I was there when she was making those cringy videos in her bedroom, which I am, like, literally all the time.
I love it. Me too, 24/7. I was thinking about that today. I was like, Nothing's changed. Mm-hmm. Like, I got successful, but I'm still in the same place. I mean, I am looking for a house, but, like, nothing's changed. Like, I still make cringy videos. The only reason people don't think they're cringy now is because I'm quote unquote successful. And so for those of you just getting started building your brand, your passion project, your art, like keep doing it. If you need help with that, I have free trainings. I'm happy to share it with you. And one more plug for you. If people are interested in your production company, how do they get in touch with you about that?
Yes. Yeah, so the company is called Blue Slate. On Instagram, it's Blue Slate Films. We don't post a ton on here. We should post more. But, you know, we have our website, we work with really big clients, we do all kinds of video production, TV production, so reach out to us, we'd be happy to chat more about it.
I love it. Well, thank you so much, Miss Emory Parker. Have an amazing day and keep sharing your queer joy with the world and queer sadness, because apparently
you
love those sad songs.
It's good. Oh, there's my dog barking.
That's all right. Okay.
Thank have you so much, day. Sophia.
Bye. All right.
Bye.
As queer women, that's women with an X, because of course we are inclusive here. As I was saying, as queer women, we haven't always been lifted up or celebrated. We have often felt left out and put down in places that historically haven't welcomed us. In fact, we have been conditioned by society to be grateful for mere tolerance. My resilient LGBTQ+IA community, I am talking to you. I'll bet you've recognized the spark that God put in your heart, your unique calling to impact the world in only a way that you can. A business idea, a brand to build, a coaching program to start, the art to create, the song to sing, the book to write, that relationship you long to build. But that little light inside your soul has often been blown out by the people around you, leaving you conditioned to play small and not step into your full potential. You are not alone. And it's never too late to truly live your most authentic dream life. I would know. I came out late in life, nearly 30, a couple years ago, after being bullied for months inside a country club. Right outside of my weights class, I was assaulted by a bigoted woman who couldn't stand my queerness. She physically pushed me, so I had a meeting with management. I told them I didn't feel safe. I brought forth evidence, and guess what? They did nothing. Sadly, this is normal. But in order to create change, we have to be brave enough to be the change ourselves. So I did a thing. I started my own virtual country club for queer women, a safe place for us to create meaningful connections and grow. So if you're looking for a love connection, networking opportunities, or coaching to live your best freedom life, you want to apply to be a part of our incredible community of purpose-driven, passionate queer women. Join Queer Women Rising, the online queer country club for growth-minded women ready to level up in life and love. To apply, DM me the word rising on Instagram at Sophia Spellino or chat me the word rising on sophiaspellino.com. Now, beyond hosting Queer Women Rising, I am a personal brand coach and social media strategist. If you give me a moment to tell you about what I do, I can share how I can help you, just like I've helped many clients before get famous online and make more money. If you're an exhausted coach or service provider, ready to scale your business for real, or you're just getting started building your dream brand from scratch, and if you're ready to build your own profitable personal brand, I can show you how in 6 months or less. But why should you take my word for it? Well, I've spent over 10 years in the social media marketing industry, amassing over 400,000 followers across platforms like Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, and YouTube, as well as hosting a top charting podcast, building a successful service provider business, and coaching powerful women to build purpose-driven, profitable personal brands. Yeah, I have the social media and sales process strategies that can help you finally make the money you deserve. Because I want to help you build your dream business that gives you time, freedom, and makes real money. So for a limited time, I'm giving away your first steps to go from less than 5K months and advance to 10 to 20K months. Grab my newly revamped Profitable Personal Brand Blueprint, my proven framework to build yourself a personal brand that motivates, inspires, and sells so that your business can thrive the way it should. Just go to the link in the show notes. Whether you're a novice at creating or you're feeling stuck, hitting a plateau in your business that once had consistent revenue, and need guidance, support, and coaching to get to your next level, I invite you to book a strategy call to speak with either me or my team to see if we'd be the right fit to work with each other inside of the Profitable Personal Brand 6-month coaching program. Mind you, I am extremely selective and this coaching program is not for everyone, and I'm not afraid to say it. I am only taking on serious, purpose-driven, and committed queer women and allies inside of my community. If that's you, book your free strategy call. The link is in the show notes. And if you feel yourself come alive and love listening to Queer Women Rising, please leave me a 5-star rating with a kind review wherever you listen to podcasts. Be sure to share the show with a powerful woman you know. And remember, when you're called to do something greater in life, love, or business, you will be uncomfortable until you move. So get up and go get what you want. Let's rise. Let's rise.